This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Kickoff coming up in a little bit more than 2 hours. We're live in Vegas. Circa Resort Casino is the spot in this hour. More props to get into in 15 minutes. Matt Eumanns, his look at the game tonight. Another week one games as well in 30 minutes. Our best bets in 45 minutes. Right now, we go out to the Progressive Guest Line. Fantasy Football Hall of Famer Paul Charchian joins the program. He is going to join us every Thursday throughout the regular season, as he has now for several years. By the way, new podcast, Dynamite. It's called Fantasy Football World. Go check it out today. He texted me a day ago and said, hey, do you have a minute? And I'm like, I do. Then he called me right away. And he goes, look, I know I'm not on until tomorrow, but I have a betting angle that feels so strong. I'm like, that, say no more. You got to come on today. He joins us now. Hey, George, how are you?
Hi, guys. Thank you for having me on. I'm just foisting myself onto your show on a Wednesday. I don't normally do this. And what's going to make this worse is I'm really just describing one angle, and I'm going to talk about it for like 5 straight minutes. Uh-huh. And, you know, just feel free to jump in anytime to break up the monotony of my voice. But this is such a compelling angle. I feel like we have to talk it through. It's Ramondre Stevenson tonight over on everything receiving, basically. I'm going to describe at the end, I'm going to describe the bets specifically that I like around Ramondre's receiving. And but first, I'm going to share some stats and context with you to build my case. First, as you know, Travion Henderson ruled out. That only adds fuel to the fire here. And you're going to hear some 2025 stat references. And I know what some of you are going to say, oh, George, that was last year. Things are going to be different this year, dummy. Well, look, okay, but for these two teams, 2025 stats are highly relevant because these teams went to the Super Bowl. They don't need to change anything. They went to the Super Bowl. It's a mandate not to change anything. Last year, the Seahawks defense saw the league's highest running back target rate by a mile. Nobody else close. 21% of opposing passes against the Seahawks went to running backs over 1 in 5 passes. Most teams allow 13% of passes go to running backs, 21% to the Seahawks. Seattle won the Super Bowl on a defensive strategy that was willing to give up running back catches. They yielded that so they could cover bases other places. Then how about this? Seattle allowed the most running back receptions, 97 of them last year, 6 per game. And then I'm going to compound everything else with this. Ramondre Stevenson had the deepest average target, 9.5 yards downfield. That's wide receiver numbers for 9.5 yards downfield. Average target, 9.5 yards. Every couple of games, the Patriots would spring Stevenson deep downfield on passes too. That could happen tonight. Now, the game script should favor the pass. I think the likelihood is that Patriots are behind through much of this game. And in last year's Super Bowl with Travion Henderson, Stevenson had 5 catches, 5 targets, 40 yards, and a receiving touchdown. So, okay, are you with me on all that? Does that all sound compelling? Mitch and Pauly, I'll take a breath, and I'll tell you the bets I like. And are you with me so far?
Of course. It's
all
amazing.
All in.
All right, so how do we do this? First, this is how I would attack it in order of preference. First, over the 24.5 receiving yards, which is absurd, and I would ladder it all the way up to 60 receiving yards. He's topped 24.5 yards in 6 of the last 9 games he played last year. This thing's ladderable all the way up to 60 yards. You'll get plus 500 if you want to go that high. Then I would attack over 3.5 receptions. That's plus 110. I would ladder that all the way up to 6. If you go all the way up to 6, you're plus 420 for 6 receptions. Then I would attack it on this, and I love this one. Over at 11.5 yards from the longest catch, I already told you that he averages 9.5 yards per target. So all I needed for Ramondre to do is catch the ball, turn forward, and basically even just get tackled right then and just fall forward. You're at 11.5 yards. If he breaks one tackle or he's got any cushion, the 11.5 yards is a gimme. I love that angle as well. Then I've got 2 more for you. The race to 2 receptions. This is on DraftKings. It pays 9-1 if he's the first player to 2 receptions. And it's easy to see a scenario where Seattle's amazing pass rush forces Drake May to dump the ball off to Ramondre. And keep in mind, Ramondre's starting wideouts are brand new. It's A.J. Brown and Romeo Doubs. If a play is going to break down early, Brown and Doubs may not know this system so well and know May so well that they can adapt on the fly, come back to their quarterback in their first ever Patriots game. But you know who's going to be right there in front of Drake May is Ramondre Stevenson, right where he's supposed to be if May gets in trouble. I could see him winning the race to two receptions and paying 9-1. And then my least favorite of these options, most receiving yards for either team pays 20-1. I mean, it's a long shot, but it's not impossible. If the Patriots simply decide to, like, just take away JSN, for example, Ramondre could finish with 80-ish yards, which is, he did that twice last year, and end up leading both teams 20-1 odds for that. Oh, wow. Aren't you sorry you had me on?
Oh, boy.
Great job, buddy.
That's amazing. You can get a little bit higher than 20-1, by the way, when you look around for most receiving yards. I think I saw like a 30-1 out there, maybe at a different book or whatever. So,
oh, good.
That was worth it. I'm glad that you called me yesterday.
Thanks for having me on,
by
guys.
The way,
we'll talk tomorrow about this time.
Yeah. No, we got time. You want to get off?
No. You had a similar breakdown on him for that Super Bowl game last year.
Yes. Yeah, we did a lot of this exact same exercise in the Super Bowl, and he went 5 catches over the 3.5. He went 40 yards. His number there was sitting at like 20 at the Super Bowl, and he hit the receiving touchdown as well. So I liked it. And that was with Travion Henderson, right?
Yes.
So now you take Henderson out of this mix, and Stevenson just could be sitting on a really big receiving game if what we saw last year is any indication of what we're going to get this year. And I think it will be.
Well, I also remember this because I had Henderson receiving props in the game. He is standing there wide open time and time again, and May wouldn't dump it off to him. And he did on the final play of the game, and it got 30 yards, which was awesome. Yeah. I also thought
that was true.
Yeah. And it
that
got there,
was
right?
true. And you know, what's really funny. What's funny is right. So the Patriots get killed. So of course they're three, it's all about downfield. At that point, the Patriots are losing so badly. Drake May's just, he's looking 20 and 30 yards downfield. And so he ended up giving up some of those short Ramondre catches that hopefully we'll get in a tighter game tonight. And I believe that'll be the case. I hope that's going to be the case. Let's not get a blowout in our first NFL game of the year.
Did you want a Peacock McCarthy third string with the Vikings?
All right. Well, just a little, only because you were nice enough to have me out of the dead of the offseason, like March. We're talking and, the topic of McCarthy came up. And at the time, most people thought it was going to be a quarterback controversy between Kyler Murray and J.J. McCarthy. And, what I told you guys and your viewers and your listeners was, I don't think there's any competition for the number one job. I think the competition, if any, is between Wentz and JJ. And unless JJ is a ton better, it's going to clearly be Wentz. The mandate, now that we know that JJ is third string, the mandate for Carson Wentz, if he's got to come in, is just go get the ball to your playmakers like Jordan Addison and Justin Jefferson and TJ Hockenson and Aaron Jones out of the backfield. That's all they're going to ask Wentz to do if the backup quarterback needs to come in. What you don't need, until the Vikings are, mathematically out of it in December or something, is, and I don't know that that'll be the case, by the way, I'm just hypothesizing here. The way JJ only comes in is if it is, they are mathematically eliminated in December. I think that's the only time they'd put JJ in, because you don't need him sailing passes over Justin Jefferson for another season and then have Jefferson, decide he doesn't want to play here anymore.
Right. Yeah. No kidding. If I know Paul Charchin, like I think I know Paul Charchin, you're going to come, you're on tomorrow for a half an hour. On Thursday, as you're going to be every Thursday throughout the entire football season, you're going to have you're down in the Vikings this year overall, but you're going to have a strong opinion on the Vikings Packers week one. I think you're going to have kind of a Ramondre Stevenson type breakdown for at least one player tomorrow night in the 49ers game as well.
Yeah, that's very possible. We might be thinking along the same lines here. We'll do two segments. We'll have a fantasy segment. We'll have a betting segment like we usually do, which is always great. And I'm, looking forward to that. This is, I think we've done this since you guys have had a show, which
pretty much
is pretty damn cool, honestly. Yeah. It's awesome.
Yeah. Very good.
So, super looking forward to that as well. There's some really fun angles for tomorrow that we're going to hit too.
Thanks, buddy.
You guys do it.
By the way, not as down on the Vikings as I was. I'm letting my Vikings homerism take over here. It's a season it's starting, but I'm starting to warm up to the Vikings and I'm really down on the Packers. We'll see.
Okay.
We'll talk a little bit about that game when we talk tomorrow.
The podcast is superb. It's called Fantasy Football World. Go check it out today with Paul Charchin and his crew. Thanks, buddy. We'll talk tomorrow.
Thanks, friends. Bye-bye.
There you go. Join us on the Progressive Guest Line. I'm in at least a couple of different fantasy leagues with him this year. And that was exquisite on Stevenson. What's not to like with the breakdown?
You're going to love this. They're wearing the Steve Largent throwbacks tonight.
Oh, that's going to look good.
Going to love that. Yep.
Oh, did you see when they take on the Broncos? It's in October. They're both
green against orange.
Throwback night.
Lime against orange.
It's the old Seattle blue against the Orange Crush of Denver, I believe.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, it's going to look phenomenal on TV.
This is the third time in history there's a Super Bowl rematch in week one. 2016, Denver beat Carolina. Cam Newton hit to the head, didn't call it. The champion is 8-3. This is the 12th time the teams that played in the Super Bowl meet the following season. 8-3 with the champs. Philly did it over Kansas City last year.
Right, and what's the Super Bowl loser going back 25 years?
Yeah. The Super Bowl loser since 2000 in week one is 27% ATS. That's crazy. You're serious about betting, you need Edge Boost, the financial platform built specifically for players, a Visa debit card with no usage fees, no more declined deposits, no waiting on bank transfers. Edge Boost gives you real-time access to your funds 24/7, 365, even nights, holidays, and weekends. New users sign up with promo code VEASAN, make a minimum $100 deposit, and they'll match it. Smarter way to manage your gaming bankroll. Head to edgeboost.io and use promo code VEASAN to get started today. Edge Boost. Get your free money and good luck.
Coming up, I will tell you, do not sleep on JSN at 14-1 in this very specific market. Matt Youmans on the program coming up in 15 minutes. His look, betting advice, what he has in pocket for tonight, and week one as well. So this is what I was talking about before the break. We talked about like offensive player of the year earlier. JSN won it last year. He probably deserved it at the end of the year. I thought Nacua had a great case for it. I also had Puka Nacua in pocket, so maybe a little biased there. But, it's kind of like the Bears this year, we expect some regression. The Patriots, probably not going to win 14 games. Will JSN put up that many yards again this year? Unlikely the way it seems. But there's a lot to like in the first couple of weeks of the season. Now, you can bet this. DraftKings has it. They're offering 14-1 on this very specific bet. It's called a fast future. And they have it for like every single stat category, right? Most passing yards, most rushing touchdowns. For this example, it's most receiving yards. You could also look at receiving touchdowns if you would like. But when you look at Pro Football Focus and they break down, there's a grid that I've talked about before that they have, a fantasy grid for the most part. And they look at the matchups for every quarterback, running back room, and wide receiver room going against that defense for that week. And going into the season, they grade every defense based on that with a 0 to 10 number. 0 being the hardest defense, 10 being the easiest. Well, the Pats' passing defense gets a 0.5. It's very good. It was last year. Christian Gonzalez, elite as well. JSN, despite having 10 targets, only had 4 catches, not that many yards last year. Going to be difficult. But beyond that, he gets Arizona in week 2. Now, full disclosure, this is the market that I have Devontae Smith and Deshaun Stribling in at different numbers. But JSN gets Arizona in week 2. The PFF number assigned to Arizona's pass defense against wide receivers is a 9.6, so we could go scorched earth. In week 3, the Commanders get a 9.5. So maybe he doesn't do much tonight because of the whole Patriots are good, Gonzalez angle. But even if he puts up like 70 or 80 tonight, then he's got the Cardinals and the Commanders' pass defenses looming. Like 14, I fully expected when I looked today he was going to be below 10-1. 14-1 might be worth a sprinkle here, Paulie.
Okay. Good breakdown. But this is, I think there's a lot of unknowns going into tonight's game. Like how big does A.J. Brown play a role? Does he feed him early and often? What does Dobbs do? You're high on Dobbs. It could be scary, this New England offense.
They kind of got to be high on Dobbs.
Yeah, I totally agree with what you said. I mean, imagine if he had these weapons last year. So it's a big loss if they don't have Henderson. That's good for Stevenson props. I also don't know if it's going to be a lot of Kiner. Can Kiner get some touches? The backup now with Henderson out. And then I don't know with the Fleury standpoint of what Seattle's going to look like. They want to say all the right things about it's going to be the same type of offense. If you watch Hard Knocks, but still, he never called plays before. They want to have a bigger role for Shaheed. How often do they get Price involved? And then what does he look like in terms of, is he a pass-catching threat? You know they love the tight ends. Probably a lot of Helani, too, what they're going to do. But it's difficult, and I love the discussion we had. Was it 2 weeks ago? And Kramer was in here as well. Who wins more games, the 49ers or the Seahawks? And it's great that they play the first two nights of the season. And they're both playoff teams last year and expected to do things get back to the playoffs this season. But, like, everything went wrong in San Francisco, still won 12 games, hosted Seattle Week 18 for the one seed. And then stuff's going wrong already and the off-the-field issues and guys are hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And then for Seattle, it's like, my God, how many people can you lose? Charbonnet's out, although comes back. You lose Walker. You don't have even worry. You lose Bryant. You lose Clark. You lose Bobo. You lose Kubiak. It's like, how many people can you lose, right? But the comeback is, oh, my God, we couldn't stop turning the ball over. And we still won 14 games. And we averaged 31 points a game when we were at home. And we lose a heartbreaker to San Francisco. We lose a heartbreaker to Tampa and a heartbreaker to the Rams. We almost went 17-0. But we had 28 turnovers.
Well, here's the thing,
what if I get clean football out of Darnold like I did in the playoffs? Hello, they looked awesome. Won the Super Bowl, didn't have a turnover in the playoffs. And it's just more of the same of what we saw last year. And it's no problem. Cup, Shaheed, the rookie Price, JSN, Eats, Cooks. I got my tight ends. Darnold's fine. Back-to-back 14-win seasons. You're right. Great coach. Nasty defense. 12-win team again, like Sal said.
Is it possible that everything just came together for a full year last year for the Seahawks? Because I'm sitting here telling you that, look, I mean, JSN probably has to come back to the pack this year a little bit. And maybe he still puts up like 1,300 yards, but that, I mean, he put up an unbelievable season, like all-time good last year. So if he comes back, I think what if the defense, can the defense be good but not as good as last year? I would say yes. Absolutely they can be.
Yes.
So they also, I can mm-hmm. say this again. I had bets on the Rams. Let's be honest here. The Seahawks never should have won either one of those games late. The one at home, they got bailed out on a ridiculous 2-point conversion attempt that never should have counted.
Don't give up a punt return, though, too.
It's 30-14 Rams, game's over with, right? And also, the Rams blew the NFC title game.
I don't know about that.
They blew the end of the second quarter, the beginning of the third quarter, that punt return again that they muffed. The whole thing was, and that the play calling on the final drive, I'm still pissed off about that. Regardless, what if it comes all the way back for the pack? Darnold is good, but is not the same guy from the last 2 years. Are we talking about a non-playoff team?
Yeah, and a loaded NFC, yeah. And maybe it's San Francisco. Are they going to get three playoff teams again?
I think no.
Yeah. Could be. And do the Rams go 4-0 against them? Tomorrow's big, too. Can the Rams sweep both of them?
I don't think that's going to happen.
That's a tough question about who's getting Cowboys, Eagles, Lions. Who else there? One out of the South. How many out of the West? It's difficult. It's hard to get to your seven playoff.
Well, you can honestly make. I don't like the Packers this year, but you can make a case for all four teams in the North. They're all really good teams, and that's an excellent division.
If you think it's a blowout, and you're of the mindset, wisest three. It's like what Mike Palm said, it was a massacre in the Super Bowl. Now they're at home unveiling the banner. Come on. 12th man, the Patriots don't stand a chance. There's Super Bowl deja vu up at Caesars. Patriots don't score a touchdown plus 325. No one converts a fourth down plus 350. Seahawks never trail 6-1.
Okay, that's not bad if you like them a lot.
No touchdowns first half 10-1. 15 plus punts, 75-1. 3-0 first quarter, 10-1. Seahawks have more kicking points than Patriots team total points, 7-1. good menu, good
stuff.
Well,
I would say this. I mean, Paul, if you love either side tonight, it's much like the Super Bowl, right? If you loved the Seahawks, and a lot of people did last year, they were making the case to bet alt numbers.
Yeah.
Like, I think we had it like in the VSiN guide, the Super Bowl guide, I think people were betting like 13 and a half with the Seahawks, and I got there. If you love them tonight, I think you got to do the same thing. You're not only going to love the three, you're going to love minus 5.5, 8.5, you know, 13.5, all of it. But if you love the Patriots, then you're going to be taking the three. You probably have them in pocket already if you love them, but you're also probably looking at a pretty decent bet on the money line as well if you love the Patriots tonight. I'm only going to attack this game from player props. I'm going to do that more often than not this year anyway. That's what I've done in the last couple of years.
Yeah.
I like to bet player props more than I like to bet side, typically.
Yeah.
At beating the NFL is hard. Again, in the contest here at Circa, I got to come up with 5 games on Sunday. Week one games I kind of like, but every week throughout the football season, that's tough. Got to go to war with 5 of them, man.
I want to throw one thing at you.
Okay.
That is, I think it's important because it's who's coaching tonight. Of all days, Diana Rossini talks to the New York Post and says, I'll share my side of the story when I get my new job. How about the timing of that? As the season starts and you know who's coaching tonight. I mean, isn't that something?
Are you curious what her side of the story could possibly be?
I would like to hear it. I haven't heard it yet.
Or is she doing that as like...
I think she's saying she has a job. And once she's announces her new job, then she'll tell her side of the story. What went down with Vrabel. But
I think that's part of the deal is that the next whatever, the next company that hires her is going to be like, okay, wait until you tell the story. Once we hire you, then you have free reign to do whatever you want. That's part of us signing you. Should she ever get a job again? I'm asking the question.
Boy, that's tough. That's a tough call.
Probably a better question for Tony Farmer.
Yes.
Who's been tracking this
more digging on.
Oh, he's been
with
digging
votes and in the history and what, yeah, going
oh,
back.
He, oh, he gets in. I mean, he's got that shovel eight yards deep.
Yes, he does.
Yeah, yeah. Good for him. I mean, he was elite at it doing that. Decided to go that path this year in the offseason and really like investigate what's going on in the media and other things in the NFL. This is Follow the Money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Kickoff coming up in about 2 hours. Our best bets in 20 minutes for the game. Matt Youmans on the program. How is he approaching this from a betting standpoint? And what else does he like in week one? We'll ask him next here on VSiN. More best bets for tonight and week one as Matt Youmans joins us now in studio here on Wednesday. Typically off, he's off on Wednesdays and back on Thursdays, but this year a little bit different. You're going to be doing the primetime show on Wednesday night, Matt. Thanks for popping in studio here earlier before your show.
Mitch, I'm working 2 jobs now. I'm a pizza delivery guy and working here at VSiN as well.
Look at this.
Brought in Dom DeMarco's Pizza, 9785 West Charleston, the official Monday Night Football sponsor of VSiN Primetime, and we decided to kick it off tonight. I was out there today for the Jim Feist football preview show on the patio, and Al Scalia, the owner, says, I know Paul Howard loves the cannolis.
Yep.
Send over some cannolis for Paul and a pizza for the staff, and we got set up here for opening night of the NFL season.
Thank you. I already had one. They're fantastic.
Did you really? You whacked one?
Yeah. They're great. Thanks, Al.
Yeah. Matt, what do you make of the line move here? We're sitting a couple hours before, not even 2 hours anymore before kickoff, and this money on the Patriots to drive it down to 3 with some juice on the Seahawks now.
I like the Patriots a little bit in the game, but again, I didn't get the 4.5 over the summer, and I'm not playing it now. I'm probably going to live bet the game tonight. I know some people hate that answer, but that's just the smart way to do it at this point. If you didn't get the 3.5, 4, or 4.5, why would you take the 3?
Right.
And I think the Patriots have improved on both sides of the ball since the Super Bowl. Definitely got better weapons for Drake May. And let's face it, May was fading badly late last season, especially in the postseason. I expect them to play better tonight. I watched the replay of the Super Bowl a couple nights ago. And again, during the Super Bowl, I was disgusted by the Patriots' performance. Mm-hmm. It looked like they were ill-prepared. The execution was embarrassing. Everything about the way the Patriots played in that game, for the most part, I thought was a joke. And it really wasn't as close as a 29-13 final score. I would expect that they are far more competitive tonight. I don't know that the Seahawks are better since the Super Bowl. Obviously, Kenneth Walker's gone. You're going to have a rookie running back and Jadarian Price in there tonight. And well, I like
lost
Price,
a lot, yeah.
But they have lost something from their Super Bowl team. And I can understand the underdog money, but I didn't get the good numbers, so I did not play it. I will live bet it tonight, though.
Are these both playoff teams?
I think so. And again, I'm a believer in the Super Bowl loser hangover in
general. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, there's too much proof of it over the years, especially the last few years. And I think you saw some of that maybe with the Mike Vrabel situation during the offseason. But when you look at the AFC East, it's a two-horse race. The Jets and the Dolphins are two of the worst teams in the league. And you look at the Patriots' schedule and you think they can almost sleepwalk to 9 or 10 wins. I really think they can. And, you know, there's a lot of talk about how the Patriots' schedule was so weak last year. But the bottom line is they went to Baltimore and won. They went to Buffalo and won. They had some big-time wins. I thought the Patriots were legit last season. But Drake May did fade, and that offense really broke down late in the season and in the playoffs in Denver in the Super Bowl. But I still like the Patriots. I just did not – last year I bet the Patriots would win that division. This year I bet no Patriots futures.
Okay. What is your best bet for week one at all in general?
I laid 3 with the Steelers against the Falcons. I don't know if that's my best bet. I've got 4 bets right now. But I do like the Steelers because I'm on the fade Falcons train.
I'm with
right
you
now. And you never want to overreact to the preseason. And I kind of like the Falcons in the offseason before they had the defensive line injuries, before we knew that Michael Penix was not going to be the quarterback when the season opened. I was hoping that Penix would seize this job and take control of it, and take it and run with it. That hasn't happened. He's been hesitant since he came back from the knee injury. He's been really tentative, and if you watch the preseason, I believe Tua is trash. Now, he's got maybe the best running back in the NFL behind him, Bijan Robinson. He's got some weapons around him. But Tua looks like he's got a noodle arm. He's got very little mobility. I want to fade the Falcons right now, and I believe that Kevin Stefanski is a major coaching upgrade. He might be a little bit overrated too, but look, Raheem Morris is one of the worst in the league. That's a major coaching upgrade. But I want to see the Falcons with Michael Penix at quarterback. I think they'd be a different team if Penix took control and developed like we think he possibly could. I don't believe in Tua. So Steelers minus 3. I also took the 49ers plus 4. I got Cardinals plus 10 and Browns plus 8.5. Couple
Brownies.
Of
taking the Browns on.
The Cleveland Clowns are on my card.
Yeah? You got there with Watson.
Well, Watson, okay. It's not Watson. I'm not betting it because of Watson. And Deshaun Watson in his career, 7-0 as a starter against Jacksonville. But that was the old Deshaun Watson before the injuries. He's playing with no confidence now. I think if you really look at the Browns, they got a pretty good roster aside from the quarterback position. It's obviously a clown show at quarterback, but the Browns are not that bad aside from the quarterback position. And I also think the Jaguars are a regression team this season. They won 13 games. I think they're going to regress probably to like a 9-8 type of team this year. I don't like the Jacksonville offensive line. I think there's some issues there. So ask yourself this question. If you're in Circus Survivor, this is what I ask myself when I'm playing some of these underdogs. How confident would I be in playing the favorite straight up to win? How many entries would I put on the Jaguars? Not that many. I'm a little bit nervous about the Jaguars.
Yeah. So let me ask you another, because it seems so obvious, by the way. And the obvious plays don't always come home in Survivor, right? So here's one that was going to be sneaky, right? I kept hearing that word in Survivor. It was going to be on the Raiders. Well, the news today, as of 2.5 hours ago, that number's down to 3 now everywhere. Brock Bowers is going to miss a couple weeks here, minimum, the way it looks.
Makes me sick. So we were out at Dom DeMarco's today. We were doing the show, and Ken Thompson walks up to me, and he goes, hey, this had breaking news that Brock Bowers is out with a minor knee surgery, whatever, knee operation.
Did you believe him?
I said, what? You got to be kidding me. I was going to put a significant number of Survivor entries on the Raiders. Got to totally reconsider that now.
Of course.
He's the Raiders' best player. You can say Max Crosby. I think it's Brock Bowers. Uh-huh. He's an all-pro tight end. He's going to be Kirk Cousins' number one option on offense. If you look at the Raiders' wide receivers, it's a below-average group. Brock Bowers is going to be Cousins' best friend in that offense. I've got to I'm going to put half as many entries on the Raiders as I was before. I don't think that's an overreaction because I thought Bowers is going to be a big part of their offensive success.
Yeah.
And I have the Dolphins power rated as the worst team in the league.
They are, roster-wise.
This is still a game the Raiders have got to win at home. But without Bowers, that makes me more nervous.
By the way, how about this? So Adam Schefter, when he tweeted out the news today about Bowers missing a game or two, in quotes,
right.
There's a Twitter handle called Coach Speak Index.
Okay.
They quote tweeted Schefter with evidently this is a video from Clint Kubiak 2 hours earlier today when asked if Brock Bowers and Max Crosby would be cleared to play and ready to go on Sunday. Quote, yeah, we're expecting to have all our guys out there on Sunday.
Unbelievable.
What? How?
Oh, God.
How is that possible?
So also, I know a lot of Raiders reporters, as you guys do. Not one reporter mentioned to me anything about Brock Bowers' knee issue. Until I heard about the news today. Did you hear anything?
No, nothing. No. Not a peep. No. Not a single peep. No.
It's a shocker.
Oh, that's
so bad. I think you have to totally reconsider what you're going to do with the Raiders and Survivor.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's you guys are in Survivor. I'm in it. I spend way too many hours thinking about this all week.
Boy.
I mean, I think about three things. I think about fast food,
sure,
chicks, and football contests, right?
You got it. You got it. That's a good good top three. Yeah. So last year was ugly. Watching that game and a low scoring. Right. What do you think happens with Ohio State and Texas this year?
I think it's going to be a higher scoring game. Okay. Obviously, much higher scoring than 14-7.
Yeah, it was ugly. Arch was terrible.
Oh, what a disaster. I was embarrassed for the Manning family watching that game last year.
Yeah.
That's how bad he was. He had horrendous footwork. He was throwing sidearm.
Oh, yeah.
Just everything about it was a joke. And I think you got two of the best quarterbacks in the country going head-to-head here, and they're both surrounded with a bunch of weapons, right? Talking about Julian Sand and Manning. And, yeah, the defenses are good, but Ohio State's replacing a bunch of NFL guys on that defense. And I don't care what you say about throwing five stars in there. They don't have the experience. They're not the studs like the Ohio State guys who are first and second-round draft picks. It's still going to be a great defense, but they're still young. Texas, I think, has got some questions. I talked to somebody who watched a couple Texas scrimmages in the first game, I didn't see the game against Texas State, said there's a lot of holes in this Texas defense. I think over is going to be the play. It's going to be hot in Austin. I like the fact the game is a little bit later in the day. What time is the kickoff?
That's 4:30 Pacific time.
Yeah. And I think over is going to be the play. I'll tell you what I am going to do, though. I'm teasing Ohio State up to +7.5. I just got to figure what to put it on the teaser with.
That's not bad.
I don't tease college football very often. But I think in a game like this, if you take 7.5 with the Buckeyes on the teaser, I just got to find what else I'm going to put it on there with.
Final 30 seconds here. What number do you need to bet Michigan?
Well, I'm going to bet Michigan at 5.5 or 6.
Oh, you are?
That's a 7-point line move already. Look, just based on principle, and we see situations like this all the time. I didn't like Bryce Underwood last year at all. I talked about it on VSiN every week and on our football podcast. I bet Michigan under 8.5 wins this season. That's going to really suck if they finish with 9 and they stole one from Western Michigan, right?
Yeah.
but I think you got an overreaction here that Michigan's surrounded by so much negativity all week that you're going to see the Wolverines put up a hell of a fight here. And I think if Oklahoma wins the game, it's going to be tight, down to the wire type of game. I'm going to take the points with the Wolverines.
You'll get Matt and Tim tonight for 4 hours, VSiN Primetime, all live betting during the first game of the season. Our best bets coming up next.
To determine the winner of any given college basketball game.
Someone gives you 10,000 to 1 on anything. You take it, take it, take it.
I'll bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
No way.
I'll give you 3-1 odds.
Nope.
5-1.
Nope.
10-1.
You're right.
We made it, baby. Can't wait. Close to kickoff. No turnover tonight. 10-1. Jags 7.5 Sunday, week 2. What a way to start week 2. Bills open the new stadium against the Lions. Bills laying 3. High total of that one. I also bet highest scoring game in September, 12-1. 2 weeks ago, Sal had a great breakdown on watch out for Tank Bigsby with the Eagles and to use him with the tush push and to play off it as well. Anytime touchdown, 5-1. Oregon State plus 26.5 at home to Texas Tech. Dak, 14 in a row against the Giants, laying 3 Sunday night. Steelers, 3 minus 120 against Atlanta. Total fade of the Falcons. That's the pending. Also tonight, boy, I cannot believe our Seattle guest twice concerned about Jason Myers. In any event, both teams to make a 33-yard field goal. $1.15. Myers' second most made field goals last year. And a conservative coach and a guy who was automatic last season, although he had some issues in the preseason that our guest talked about. I'll trust him and Borogalis to get it done from 33 or longer tonight with the kickers. Also, stuff we talked about this week, the third-round pick out of Notre Dame, the tight end Eli Raridan, 12-1 anytime, 65-1 first. Brady Russell there, Kyle Juszczyk as Fleury comes in, OC from San Francisco, 40-1 anytime, 100-1 first touchdown. And Shaheed over 2.5 rushing yards as well. If you want to have some fun and some pizza money, good luck.
Back at you, Paulie. All right, so a winner last night. That was with Chandler Simpson over 1.5 hits, runs, RBIs. Big win for the Rays against the Braves. Good to be on the board here with a baseball bet as we transition into the NFL now starting tonight. And I got a bunch on this game, and it looks like this. So I already had Stevenson over 23.5 receiving yards in pocket for the Patriots because I do remember Paul Charchian talking about him specifically against the Seahawks pass defense last year in the Super Bowl and how it was a thing. And then he came on an hour ago after calling me yesterday. I'm absolutely going to tail him on this. Over 3.5 catches tonight for Stevenson at plus money. Longest reception, 11.5 yards. Exquisite breakdown from Charch earlier this hour. And other bets tonight. So I'm going to war tonight with 6 different bets, all on running backs in the passing game. You got to love it, right? When we talked to our Seahawks guest a little earlier, live from the stadium tonight for this game, his name is Andrew Destin, covers the Seahawks for The Athletic. He wrote a great piece on new OC, Brian Fleury. And I can't, this one paragraph stood out to me. Reserve running back Emmanuel Wilson has run more routes in practice than he usually did in his first 3 years with the Packers. He added, ample opportunities to catch passes out of the backfield could loom for rookie Jadarian Price and third-year pro George Halani. There's also this. When you look, based on that comment, right, when you look at what the Seahawks did a year ago with Kenneth Walker and Zach Charbonnet in the passing game, they ranked 6th overall in DVOA passing to running backs. They attempted 7.6 passes to the position, tied for the most in the entire league, and they averaged 38 yards per game in the air, 6th most overall. These are very low numbers. I'm betting both or all 3 to go over. One would be Jadarian Price over 7.5 receiving yards, minus 110. Over that loop, that's actually plus 120. I'm sorry. Jadarian Price over 1.5 catches is plus 120 tonight. And George Halani over 11.5 yards. I think the juice on that is moved, but I put all those up on the VSiN Picks page earlier today. Got to do it.
Another great answer was, other than Kubiak, who will they miss the most? He said Charbonnet.
Right.
Even though they'll get him back in a month, but they lost a lot.
So he was a very good weapon for that team.
Yeah, his answer was Charbonnet, who they're going to miss. And they lost a ton of guys. Chernoff thinks it's Kubiak, but that's a fun discussion.
Well, certainly could be. Again, in his story, talking specifically about the new OC here, Brian Fleury, this guy has, I mean, an eclectic resume here. Working at lower-level college football, the 49ers. He's been a defensive coordinator, special teams guy. He's never been an offensive coordinator ever.
Yeah.
But the players love him.
Yeah, I know, though. You can say, oh, it's easy. I have JSN. Look at the weapons. I'm from Minnesota. I remember, until I saw Randy Moss go to New England, the best offense I've ever seen was Randy Moss as a rookie with the 98 Vikings.
Yeah, and what happened after Brian Billick left?
Brian Billick left to take the Ravens job. Everyone said, no, but Ray Sherman came in. It was a disaster.
Right.
Randall Cunningham got benched not even halfway through the season. You know who saved the season? Jeff George.
That's right.
Jeff George took him to the playoffs. So it's a big deal about, well, I can drop the plays. I mean, look at this talent. Well, the 98 Vikings, once Billick left, they had a ton of issues, and it didn't even look remotely the same.
Boy, oh boy, Jeff George, did he have a cannon for an arm.
Oh, what a rocket. What a rocket, man.
He was fun to watch.
Yeah. It was a lot to deal with.
Oh, sure.
Major disappointment, too.
Yeah, he was supposed to
number one pick, Colts, Raiders. He was with the Raiders. And, oh, remember he got in that fight with June Jones. He benched him. He started screaming at him.
Yeah, that's right.
And then he was with the Raiders, and they beat Atlanta in Atlanta, and they won. And he did a victory lap around his stadium. He did a lap. He was something. I was at K-Fan at the time when I was starting out in the business. And I think they wanted him to do come in and do a coach's show type thing. You know, each player would come down once a week while the season. He demanded a limousine. Did he? Got to pick me up with a limo. Jeff George.
Why not
baby.
Put that in the contract?
Yeah, sure, Jeff George.
I like thinking back of old school cannon for an arm guys. He's certainly very. Remember Jay Schrader, his arm?
Jay Schrader?
Oh my God, did he have a bazooka?
I remember the beautiful long, it was Jeff Blake.
Beautiful long deep ball.
With Carl Pickens?
Well, yeah, one of the best. Yeah. Warren Moon threw the prettiest deep ball all time.
Okay.
He was so good. I mean, Elway, of course, goes without saying.
Yeah.
But some of the non-obvious guys, like Blake and Jay Schrader qualifies the non-obvious guys. I think Michael Vick could throw the ball like 300 miles an hour the way it felt. The ball would disappear from the screen.
Nothing tops Favre early in his career.
Yeah. Yeah, he would put it
wherever he wanted. Mike Holmgren, when he comes, will you stop with the rocket balls now?
Yeah.
Will you knock it off?
Uh-huh.
What he would do? Excellent. All right, it's here. Sharp money already moving. They reach out to over 500 sources and bettors worldwide across all sports and send it out to subscribers in real time. The AI plays, the Robinhood plays, donate over $30,000 to charity, and the receipts, every play logged, every result public. Records back to 2011, live logs 2021, no login, no paywall, no steam chasing, no stale trends. Get all his future plays, what he offers up there as well, college and pro, and look for the daily Mr. Poison tweets. Follow the Sharp Money at sharpplays.com.
More likely, if an alt number comes in with a total tonight, is it more likely that an alt under comes in or an alt over? Meaning like, I'll throw like under 37.5. Hell, I'll throw like under 34.5 in the game. Or is it more likely to go over like 51.5 or maybe even higher than that?
I think defenses are ahead that have the advantage week one. So I would say ugly game.
Yeah. And if the market's right about this, it's an under game because it's now sitting at 44 the way it looks.
Yeah.
That's a bet that I regret not betting. That's under like 45. If 45 and a halves were out there, I'd like to have, I'm not going to bet it now.
I'll tell you, it's interesting to come in tomorrow though. If it's 28-20 Patriots and they win the game and Brown looks good and he score a ton of points and exercise the demons.
Well,
that'd be interesting too.
I don't think people are going to freak out if the Seahawks blast the Patriots tonight and May's not great. Cause it's going to be like, oh, Seattle, it's happened in the Super Bowl, right? Bad batch. But if you're right, and the Patriots win, and it looks good. And what if Darnold's not good tonight? I'm telling you, the people are going to forget about the last 2 years.
Oh, come on.
I'm telling you, Paul. That's my guess. That's my prediction. If Darnold's not great, they lose tonight. The entire reaction is going to be Darnold stinks, and the last 2 years were.
Yeah. Sam Darnold, Tom Brady, guys to win back-to-back 14 win seasons.
How about that?
Isn't that something?
Mm-hmm. Fun show.
Yeah.
Great to have it back.
You got it. Great job with the tennis, too, Alder. Oh, God. A-plus if you stayed up last night.
Great
Luke
job.
Did it. Well, good job, Luke. Yeah. He stayed up to watch the whole tennis match.
And great job by everybody behind the glass as well. Don't go anywhere. Primetime next. Murray, Humans, followed by Cashing Out, Dustin Sweetelson, 11 p.m. Eastern. Jensen and Dave will recap beginning at 7 a.m. tomorrow. We'll see you.